are too numerous to count, one of which is the fact that you are even alive and well this morning to be part of this service. Therefore, please, brethren, join me. Let us worship him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You have done great things. You have done great things. Yes, my Lord. You will do greater things. Bless his holy name. Brethren, if you believe he will do greater things for you, why not begin to bless his holy name? Let us begin to appreciate him. He's a covenant-keeping God. His words unto us, they are yea and amen in Christ. Therefore, let us appreciate him. Thank him for the things that he has done. Thank him for the greater things that he will do, because he is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Whatever he has said, that he will do. Father, we thank you. Masuke kasotolebo. Yimalika satalekeria masotolebo. Thank you because we are the covenant keeping God, the one that is reliable and dependable, the one that we can approach with all of our needs that you are able to meet with. We are grateful. We bless your holy name for that we are alive and well. We are alive and well that we can serve you. We are alive and well that we have a hope in you. We are alive and well that we know that our tomorrow is secure. Father, be magnified. Father, be exalted. In the name of Jesus, even as the body of Christ, we thank you for the life that we live. We thank you for the children. We thank you for the men. We thank you for the women. We thank you. Receive all our praises this morning. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you specially for keeping your children in you. Thank you for your church that is marching forward, that the gate of hell will not prevail against. Oh, my Father, be glorified. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we worship. Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow my knees. I gladly bow my knees. I worship you, Lord. Forever you will be. Forever you will be, forever you will be, the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow my knees, I gladly bow my knees, I worship you, Lord. Yes. King of glory, we bow our knees, we worship you, our Lord. We are grateful because we know you are there for us. Thank you because Emmanuel is your name, God with us. Even as we have come this morning, oh God, to praise and worship you, let this be acceptable in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I pray unto you, my Father in heaven, even as we go to share your word, let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus. Yeah. I pray that these people of yours will hear you, not me.
Yes, Lord.
That your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of comfort, the Spirit of truth, will minister to each and everyone's heart this morning in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So that at the end of this sharing, burdens will be lifted,
mm-hmm.
souls will be encouraged,
mm-hmm.
heart will be encouraged in the name of Jesus. And that together, oh God, joy will fill our heart to continue to worship and serve you in the name of Jesus. Receive all the praises, even as you release blessings unto us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, my Father.
You,
in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brethren. Thank you. And once again, I appreciate you joining. You have not joined this platform to see my face, but to see the God, your Creator. And it is my prayer as you look up unto Him, He will cause your face to be radiant,
mm-hmm.
and you will not be ashamed serving Him,
mm-hmm.
in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
So this morning I will be sharing the Word of God with us. And the title given to read is that we must not lose heart. We must not be discouraged. We must not give up. Why? Because the Almighty, the God Himself, who created you in His image and likeness, is watching over you. Therefore, there is no room for discouragement. There's no room to give up. There's no room to lose heart. And as we go to share this word, the Holy Spirit will reveal Himself unto you and my very self in a greater dimension in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. When I was preparing for this short message, I stumbled on a quote by one of the person I will call one of the contemporary men of God that has passed on. And I am quoting the word of Billy Graham. He says, "The Christian life is not a constant high. I have moments of deep discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, 'Oh God, forgive me or help me.'" Unquote. I know many of us, we know this man of God to be one of those that have fallen for Him, even in our time, in our day. If he could come up with this, this is to tell us that we all have our moments that discouragement may want to come, our moment that we may think God has forsaken us. However, we have the grace, the blessing, the opportunity to know that we can turn unto God at such a time and that He will help us. And it is my prayer that that help is coming for someone this morning in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I'll be looking at that topic that we need not be discouraged because our Christ is alive. I'll be looking at two biblical examples for us to be able to see that regardless of what we might be going through, be it good, be it bad, our God is there for us. And my first example would be David, the man that God Himself described, the man after His own heart. I know we all can relate to David's story in many diverse ways. Many of us, we knew his struggle, even as a child. Not only how he was forgotten in the field, not only how the family members derided him, but even when God anointed him, we knew how he was being pursued simply because of the anointing of God upon his life. Well, we knew how King Saul was going to take his life. But glory be to God, he was not able to do that. How about the rebellious son who was going to ascend the throne even when the father was still alive? These are stories of David that many of us know, which many of them, their life struggles. They are struggles that are coming from quarters you will not expect. Particularly people of his own household, which I want to believe many of us can relate to. But through it all, David's heart was still with God. He did not allow any of these struggles to discourage him. And many a times when I read the story of David, I wonder, even with all of those struggles, with all of those conspiracies, he was still able to compose many of the psalms that we read today to lift our soul. Like the one we used to worship God. He could still remember that there are benefits he has enjoyed from God and that he must continue to lift up God in his worship, in his praise. That he cannot afford to forget the benefits regardless of those struggles. And I want to bring us to that point too, like David, brethren. I don't know the struggles, you may not even have any, but we cannot afford to forget the benefits of God. And that was what struck me again when I read in one of his psalms that he composed, Psalm 23. And I know many of us, we are very familiar with this scripture, Psalm 23. Even from the very first verse of that verse, you could see the heart of David. Please, let's quickly turn to read it again. Even though we know it, I know some of us, we can recite it up ahead. But let's turn to read and read Psalm 23 again. Here is David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." May the Lord bless the reading of his words in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was reading, I want to believe your heart keyed into the heart of David at this point too. He knew, though he was a shepherd boy, taking care of flock of his father, but he still realized himself as a person still need a great shepherd. And he come to realize that that great shepherd can only be the Lord. I ask us this morning, Is the Lord your great shepherd? If he is, have you truly recognized him to be? And he quickly said, since I know he is the great shepherd, I shall not be in want. I will not lack any good thing. Even though I have some struggles, even though families have persecuted me, even though kings have risen against me to take my life, I shall not want. I shall not be in fear. Brethren, what a peaceful picture we have in the heart of David. Are you having that kind of peaceful picture in your heart today? Even though we live in a broken world as we see it today, a world that is no longer normal as we know it, is the Lord still your shepherd? Do you still believe you shall not be in want? I bring you good news this morning. If only you make him to be that good shepherd, like David said, you shall not be in want in the name of Jesus. And what we see here, even when David is saying the Lord is his shepherd, he knows that it is the mercy of God that not allow the enemies to have consumed him, all the conspiracy, all the rebellion. Even when he himself as a human being committed sin, he knew it was by the mercy of God he has been alive. Which I want to believe some of us may find ourselves in too. Perhaps you have sinned, or you have not. But do you truly believe that the Lord as your shepherd is still a merciful God to you? If you believe, then instead of you mourning, hurting yourself in that place of sin, turn to him to help you that you may enjoy his mercy. And I pray for someone who will be able to do that this morning. The mercy of the Lord will answer unto you. That peaceful picture that David was trying to give to us here will be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And when you look at that very verse again, you will see that not only is God merciful to David, he knew that God was the one that was merciful to the nation of Israel that he was leading. And this is why, as children of the living God, even at a time like this, that the world is upside down. It's only God we can turn to be merciful to our world. Not only did David knew how the nation of Israel were rebellious against God, now he's the one leading them. He knew unless that nation will go back to God, they will continue to suffer. And for us as children of the living God today, I want to believe we know unless we go back to God and cry for mercy for our world, this world may remain in a chaotic situation. Not only are the world leaders trying, but they have limited wisdom to handle this. And this is why we should make a difference as children of the living God, brethren. In our private time, in our closet, let us continue to lift the nations of this world back to God. And I bless the name of the Lord, even for the prayer group, even that we are praying this morning, praying for our nations. Let's do this as many times as we can through the power of the Holy Spirit. And David went ahead and said, in verse 2, He said, this Lord that is my shepherd, he is the one that maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He is the one that leads me beside still waters. I know if some people want to encapsulate this, you will be talking about provisions, protection, which of course are embedded in it. But beyond all of that, the green pasture that is being referred to here is the word of God that he has given us. And it is evergreen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That even in the Sunday school this morning, we were still learning about this. If you have missed that Sunday school, please, next Sunday, don't miss it. That God is the one that leads us into his world. And that by the time you continue to ruminate, you continue to regurgitate, you continue to meditate on this world, not only are we going to have good success, we are going to be prosperous, regardless of what our world may be saying. And that was why we have been told, even in scripture, if you go to 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 2, yes, 1 Peter 2, 2 to 3. He says, as newborn babes, let us continue to look like a newborn babe in the hands of the living God. We must continue to desire the sincere milk of the word. Drink it, live by it, think of it, weigh your actions by it. If we are in this position, brethren, there will be no room to give up or to lose out or to get discouraged, even in this broken world that we live in. And David said, he is the one that makes me to lie in that green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. I want us for a moment to imagine or look at it, even from the practical examples of the sheep and the shepherd in the physical. When a shepherd takes their flocks to that green pasture, not only are they going to have enough to eat, not only are they going to be satisfied, you see how they run around in that green pasture to show how joyful they are. How joyful are you when you go into the word of God? That's what I'm trying to bring out, my brethren. Oh, even in the physical, when this shepherd takes the sheep to where there is water for them to drink after they have eaten the grass, you see them move, making some kind of funny noise, an expression of joy in their heart. Are you joyful when you receive the rhema of the word? Are you lifted in your spirit? This is what David was saying, that he leads me beside the still water. He refreshes my soul. And these are the things we get when we go into the word of God. And this is what we need in our day and time. I pray that God will help us to key into all of this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And when you go to do this, it is then we begin to seek God. We begin to take God to the level of a personal one-on-one relationship. Discouraging, that is not for us. Yes, probably the job is no longer there, but God is there. Yes. Can this bill be paid? Oh, yes.
He said he has paid all our debts. And I know when some people talk about debt, it's only about saying, no, even your physical debt has been paid. So we should let our heart be encouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Because God, our Father, is watching over us. We still continue. I know I can continue with Psalm 23 to encourage us, but I still want to look at another individual so that somebody will not say, oh, Pastor seems to be so much interested in the Old Testament. What about New Testament? We live in the dispensation of grace after all. Yes. Amen. But then, before I leave David, I want us to look at verse 3 of what he said. He said, he restored my soul. He led me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, all of this that we are going to get from the word of God, all of this encouragement we are to get from the word of God, it is for his name's sake. It is for us to become a blessing to our generation. It is for you, it is for me to be a blessing to my neighbor, to my colleagues at my place of work, to my family members. Amen. David said, he leaded me in the path of that righteousness for his name's sake. If not, when David had the opportunity to take the life of Saul, maybe he could have done that. Like many of us, we want to always go for a pound of flesh of our enemies. I mean, somebody wants to take your own life, and here the opportunity comes, clean and clear, to take his own. David said, no, I can't touch the anointed of God. Maybe that will help someone to look into our prayer style, our prayer idea. Maybe someone will look into the worldview concerning our enemies now. Let us pray for the restoration of their soul, even as he has restored us. Because he is our shepherd, they can't harm us. They will try. Don't get me wrong, brethren. I'm not saying they are not there. They are trying. But the more they try, I pray in the name of Jesus, they will continue to fail.
Yeah.
But their soul still means a lot to that great shepherd. And I pray, as you continue to pray for the restoration of their soul, God will answer you and give us testimony over them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And quickly, I want us to look at another life again, like I said, in the New Testament. The life of Paul. It's another life that when you look at all the things that surrounds him, it is enough for him to be discouraged, to lose hope, to give up. But this same Paul was the one still encouraging the churches in Galatia, in Corinthia, in Ephesus to continue to hold on, to continue to look up to God. I am bringing it to you, brethren, this morning. Let us continue to hold on to him. You can't afford to lose your heart. You can't afford to be discouraged. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18. He says, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are unseen are transient. But the things that are unseen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. Here is Paul, who knew all that he has suffered. But through it all, Paul's heart was connected to God. And he was still encouraging those people he has ministered to that they must continue. They must not lose courage, particularly about him that is suffering for the sake of the gospel. You know, many at times we can be emotional in our reaction when we see children of God suffering, or when we see, oh, it's like this person is really serving God. Why are things so upside down with him or her? So Paul was in that position, but he was the one still encouraging them that no, don't look at it from that angle. Look at it from the perspective of eternal glory that is laid ahead for us. And this is what I'm bringing to you, my brethren, and as many that are listening to me now. I said a while ago, our world is broken. This is not the way we know it. You can no longer socialize. You can no longer meet together. Oh, your loved ones, you can't even see them many a times. Oh, you have big parties you want to celebrate. No room for all of that. Let us look beyond all of that. Let us look at the eternal glory that is set before us. And that's why I'm thanking all of us that made it to be able to join this platform every time. It tells me where your heart is, or how you hold the things of God. You are not allowing the barrier of the moment, the affliction of the moment, to deter you, to stop you, to discourage you from worshiping your God. Or even for those of us that can still give sacrificially, I thank God for your life. Because many now, their concern is more about the bills. Their concern is about the fear of what will happen tomorrow, forgetting that it is today that God has given us. He is the owner of tomorrow. And I pray we will all live to see that tomorrow gloriously in Him, Jesus.
Amen.
So Paul was encouraging the Corinthians church here that they must not lose heart. And I am encouraging those brethren this morning, don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. If your prayer life has not been vibrant before now, this is the time to rev it up. Yes, this is the time. Because these are the things that will make us to be strong, not to be overwhelmed by the things we see, by the things we hear. So let us be more persistent in our prayer. And this might be seen by people and may not be seen. But there is that one that is even more important. That is being eternally focused. And that's what he was saying there. In verse 18 that I read. He said, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. That is those things that are eternal. The hope that is prepared for us. The glory that's ahead of us. The heavenly home that we are looking forward to. These are the things that will energize us spiritually to be alive. These are the things that will propel us to pray more, to study the word more, to share it more, even with people. And it's my prayer as we go in the course of the week to do all of this, the Lord will strengthen you, will strengthen me,
yeah.
Will not be discouraged in any way.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Why then does he have to bring that Billy Graham quotation in the first place? I brought that to us for us to know that the world we are in, as imperfect as it is, there will always be moments and times of as we run this race in the name of Jesus. Don't grow weary in doing good. Because it can be so challenging that one tends to be more into himself or herself at the moment like this. If God is laying anything in your heart to do for any of your brethren or your loved ones, please go ahead. It might bring a momentary pain or affliction, but look at the eternal joy and blessing and glory that is with it. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Thank you for listening, and God bless you.